Bill Monroe, who's often called the father of bluegrass music, would have turned 100 this autumn if he were still alive. And the Bean Blossom Bluegrass Festival, which Monroe founded more than 40 years ago, will honor his centennial during its annual week-long music event this month. But there's more to the story of Bean Blossom than Bill Monroe, though he is a central figure. WFIU's David Bryn Johnson spoke recently with musician and folklorist Thomas Adler, who's written a new history of the festival and its origins.
Bean Blossom. These days, the words evoke not just a small town in southern Indiana, but a distinct cultural celebration of bluegrass music to fans of that music around the world. Folklorist, banjoist, and longtime Bean Blossom Festival attendee Thomas Adler is one such fan, and his new book, Bean Blossom, tells the story of how the festival came to be.
There's really two phases to Bean Blossom. There's the Brown County Jamboree phase and the Bluegrass Festival phase, you might say. And they overlapped for a lot of years. The Brown County Jamboree started way back in the early 40s, and it ran up through the early 1980s. And that, when I say Brown County Jamboree, I'm talking about the weekly summertime Sunday shows that they used to have there.
The 1940s Brown County Jamboree shows were promoted by grocery store owner Francis Rund and gained popularity through Midwestern radio broadcasts and the town's close proximity to Camp Atterbury, which ran a bus line to Bean Blossom so that soldiers could enjoy the music.
The Rund family, of course, because it was on their land and they built the, you know, first put up the tent and then built the barn, really owned the show, and it was a family operation for them to run this. They would follow that pattern where they would hire a big-name act from Indianapolis or Cincinnati in country music, and they would be the headliners, but the show would get opened up by local musicians and local acts, and that would be the pattern, and that's how it went from about Easter to Halloween every summer season, every Sunday.
Bill Monroe, whose music star had been steadily rising for years, had never actually played at Bean Blossom during the 1940s heyday of the Brown County Jamboree.
Not till October of 51 did Bill play there, and apparently he had a big crowd, and it was a good show, and just about 3 months later, he bought the place.
Monroe was said to like the scenery of the locale, reminiscent of the Kentucky countryside in which he'd grown up. His rival Roy Acuff had bought a music park several years before, and Thomas Adler speculates that Monroe, a great lover of fox hunting culture, may have also been drawn to Bean Blossom because there was a large fox hunt going on the night that he first played there. Whatever the reasons that Bill Monroe hit upon Bean Blossom as his country music park home, he and his brother Birch established it as a venue over the next several decades for their brand of bluegrass music, even as the 1950s and 60s and rock and roll shook up the traditional country music scene.
Bean Blossom, what you always got was pretty darn straight-ahead traditional bluegrass, not only by Bill, but by almost all the other bands he hired, and definitely on the part of any amateurs who were any part of the show or the contests or anything.
Bean Blossom was not without its troubles in its early years under the Monroe Brothers' management, which could be thrifty to a fault and perhaps too set in its old Kentuckian ways. But Thomas Adler says the rise of bluegrass festivals in the 1960s, spurred on in part by the folk revival and the counterculture's attraction to American roots music, saved it. Future Grateful Dead guitarist Jerry Garcia drove cross-country to visit Bean Blossom in 1964, with aspirations of possibly joining Bill Monroe's band, a sign of visitors to come. In 1967, Monroe launched the festival, at first calling it a celebration, wary of the hippie-ish connotations of the word festival. Adler's book chronicles the festival's subsequent success and peaks and valleys across the next four decades through what he calls its recent renaissance in the years following Bill Monroe's death in 1996.
It continues to be a bluegrass venue, but I'm very pleased that just like the early Rund family years when that was mostly country and Western music, but they had accordion bands and rodeos and, you know, they had all kinds of acts, and there was a certain variety there. And Bill Monroe had a certain amount of variety, too. And I like to see them getting back to that and trying to make the place, make people aware that it's really a as important as it is in the story of bluegrass, it's kind of more than that. It's this music park place in America. I wish they'd turn it into Wolf Trap Farm for Indiana or something like that.
Adler places Bean Blossom in what he sees as an often overlooked part of American music history, the rural country music park.
To me, that's part of the fascinating story of Bean Blossom. It's a really special example, but it's an example of a kind of a commonality that people also aren't aware of. There was a historian that liked to talk about things that were below the level of historical scrutiny, and that's where I think the rural country music parks have been. But Bean Blossom, doing this history, was a chance to not only focus on the bluegrass part, but to put it in that larger historic and geographic context of other parks dedicated to presenting musical styles. And they sort of go on, and Bean Blossom rolls on to this day, I'm very happy to say.
For WFIU's Artworks, I'm David Brent Johnson.
The annual Bean Blossom Bluegrass Festival begins this Saturday and runs through Saturday, June the 18th. For more information, visit our website at wfiu.org/arts.